to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Don Ecker, the curmudgeon, comes out again, and he says what he thinks, and sometimes people like Larry King won't get over it. But then, Larry King is gone except for the Internet, right?
Yeah, Larry could never get his idea of the toughest question. He asked me, and he asked me this just about every time I was on his program. And to me, I thought it was one of the most dumbass questions, and he continued to ask it regardless of how dumbass it was. But he would say, "Well, Don, when are they going to land on the White House lawn?" And, you know, I what I actually wanted to tell him would not have made the network censors very happy. But, you know, Larry, I guess whenever they want to, providing they want to. But, you know, no matter what you brought him or what you showed him, let's face it. It was pure entertainment. When he did a UFO show, he was assured that the faithful would tune in. And how often did they ever really do any cutting edge? Probably the most cutting edge that they ever did was that show about STS-48. And I honestly believed after that program was over that UFO magazine would be snowballed by news organizations around the country and other places that would want to know more about that. And the sad fact of the matter was we never got one serious inquiry from any news organization about that incident.
Wow, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Now, we did have a contact back in Washington, who was a national defense reporter, a very well-known, very serious guy, who had a closet interest in the UFO topic. And he had written for the magazine, under a pseudonym, several articles over those years. And about a week after my appearance on the Larry King Show, he called me up. When I answered the phone and I saw who it was, and, "Oh, yeah, how you doing?" He said, "Well," he said, "I just was kind of curious, after you were on King's show, what kind of feedback have you gotten?" And I said, "Well, from, you know, the people that saw the show that, like, subscribed to the magazine, it's been all positive." He said, "Well, for what it's worth, Don," he said, "I want you to know that you thoroughly pissed off a bunch of people back at the Pentagon." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, why do you think? They didn't want that getting out." I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "Keep your eyes open, because that NASA channel that was that had beamed down that live sequence is being encrypted." And he was absolutely dead on the money. That never again after that June 92 program on Larry King Live, have you seen anything unvetted or live from outer space? It's all now either in time delay or it's vetted beforehand. So, in a way, I'm responsible for censorship, I guess, from a live feed from outer space.
Well, let's go back through history. Our late friend Jim Moseley was possibly, along with Major Donald Kehoe, jointly responsible for limiting access to UFO information in the 1950s. And the story has it that Jim was doing this tour of the country to get information about a UFO book that never got published. I guess later on was mostly covered in shockingly close to the truth. And he went to see Project Blue Book, and they allowed him to sit in there and write down case files, case histories from the actual documents, investigative documents that they gave him. You know, obviously they didn't have classified information, but they had reports that he could write the information down. But it appeared that Donald Kehoe, Major Donald Kehoe, UFO research pioneer, was getting the stuff verbally by one of his contacts within the Air Force or Project Blue Book. And when he heard that Mosley had gotten to see the actual investigative documents, he raised a stink, and that was the end of that policy. So it gave you another reason to hate Jim Mosley.
I didn't hate Jim. Jim, quite frankly, irritated me to no end upon occasion. But he was actually a very funny guy in many regards. And he was a ballsy guy. He didn't care who he upset, which, in a way, was... I admire that.
Yeah, you got to admire that. I mean, he was the trickster, court jester of the field, no question.
Yeah, I was... And I put this up on the Paracast after Jim passed on, that I was sorry that I never had a chance to get him on DMR, you know, when he was so ill there, because I wanted to tell him, Jim, I've rethought my position, and these days, if you caught on fire, I would piss on you.
I'd piss on you to put it out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still one of the all-time Paracast classic answers. Well, here's one. Now we're going to get a little serious here. This is from our buddy up in Calgary, Ufology, and I think this is kind of, it may be aimed at Gene and myself and the GCN network as well, but where should the media draw the line between caveat emptor, the concept, not Gene's publication, he puts, and responsible journalism? For example, I ran across one comment about you not caring where your advertising revenue came from, because you had included a bunch of Billy Meyer advertising in UFO magazine when it was under your purview. Should the media be able to leave it up to consumers to discern the legitimacy of advertising for themselves? Or should there be a different standard for articles as opposed to advertising? And does journalistic responsibility end when we decide it's all just for entertainment?
Okay, I would have to know when that alleged advertising on Meyer material ran, whether it was prior to Vicki and I having to take in business partners or before. Because after 97, we had absolutely no, and I mean no say over what advertising went into the magazine. Now, advertising... You know, this is something that a lot of these armchair quarterbacks don't realize because they never had to deal with it. We had to generate enough income when Vicki and I were doing the publication that we had to be able to pay the printers. We had to be able to pay the people that delivered the magazine. We had to pay our writers. And we had to live, and it was, believe me, it was a fine, fine line. This was not our hobby, okay? We didn't do this after we got done with our day job. This was our day job. And I can tell you, pal, there were some times when we weren't real sure where the next full meal was coming from. It was... sometimes that thin. And we did run some advertising that at the time I personally had heartburn with. But once again, you've got to have enough money to get the publication out there. Now, the Meyer material, and I've never made any bones about the fact that I thought the Meyer material was crap from day one. And as a matter of fact, several years ago, one of his biggest proponents over here, a guy by the name of Michael Horn.
Yes, we all remember Michael Horn.
Was absolutely on me like a rash to get me to bring him on DMR, Dark Matters Radio. And you know what? I could have brought him on because there's a part of me that would have probably enjoyed chewing on him about what a load of crap this stuff was. But on the other hand...
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Don Ecker joining us. He's from Dark Matters Radio, and he's been busy as a bee answering your questions. And these are questions, of course, that are not vetted. Chris just reads them, and Don has to answer them. In fact, as we're doing the show, a couple of more questions have been posted.
Okay.
Chris?
Well, how about articles, Don? I know you and Vicky, from reading the magazine for a number of years prior to getting involved in the field, and then subsequently the first 5 or 6 years I was in the field, I personally cannot remember an article that I felt maybe shouldn't have been in the magazine. I felt you guys really had a high standard for article submissions. The quality of the writers was top-notch for the most part. I think it did go downhill quite a bit in the recent years with columns that perhaps were just taking up space. They really didn't have any real, I think, major relevance. Where do you think the line should be drawn for publications, for radio shows for that matter, in terms of what guests come on? You mentioned Michael Horn as an example. Is it okay, do you think, to give these people enough rope to hang themselves, or is the exposure in and of itself not appropriate?
Well, that's a great question. It's something that, well, I've been broadcasting. I started doing radio back in 1991. Now, I always vetted the people that I brought on the show. For the most part, I did not bring people on a show that at the time I considered to be fraudulent or questionable. I always tried to maintain a high level with the people that I did bring on. Now, that's not to say that I was always successful. Now, a couple of years ago, I had Alan Sturm, a guy that was really involved in lunar studies, had discovered a treasure trove of NASA photographs. I think now it was at the University of Arizona. And he put together a PDF-type book that was astounding. It really showed some breathtaking photographs with what appeared to be some breathtaking artifacts in it. Now, I brought him on the show, and we had a darn good show. I opened up the phone lines to start taking calls, and lo and behold, one of the first callers we got was John Lear. Now, John Lear today is looked at by a lot of people that are in the know as kind of being somewhat like that crazy uncle that everybody has or seems to have. And true to form, when John came on there, he started rolling off some of the most god-awful, crazy, conspiracy theory-type stuff that anybody has heard in a long time. And I let him play out for a couple of minutes, and then I snapped the line on him. However, I have known John Lear going all the way back to my initial foray into the field. As a matter of fact, John Lear was actually one of the people that I first had contact with when I began an active participation in UFO research. Now, John has a rich history going back into the beginning of what I refer to as the modern age of UFO research, starting about 1986. And so later on, I called John up and I invited John onto the show. And I made sure, as the host, that we maintained strictly those early years that we talked about, because he had some very colorful things happen during that period of time. So that's how I dealt with that. But there are people that even today I would not even broach the idea of bringing on the show, because I couldn't maintain my professionalism or my composure with. And I'm doing that for everybody's benefit, not the least which is mine.
Well, you brought up the moon, and Gogs McKay has several questions, and there are other questions about lunar anomalies. Don, do you know of any pictures taken relatively recently, say, by Japan of the lunar surface that show any decent anomalies? And I add the follow-up. Do you think now with India and China and possibly other countries now talking about going to the moon that we're going to see more openness in regards to the whole question of lunar anomalies?
No, absolutely not. Number one, I have seen very little come out from any of those countries about their forays into outer space. And I have to believe that if they encounter what I suspect NASA has encountered and the Russians have encountered, especially in the early days of space exploration, that on some level, and this is speculation, but I suspect that on some level there's a gentleman's agreement to keep this information under wraps if they encounter it. I can't imagine that the Japanese or the Indians, because we're pretty close allies with both of those countries, would want to step on any American toes, and the Chinese would probably want to keep it to themselves simply because they'd like to discover what technology perhaps could be gleaned from it. So, no, I don't see any vast openness happening anytime soon.
Let me do a follow-up question before Chris gets back. What about the possibility of a gradual disclosure as we discover that more and more planets might have Earth-like conditions around the universe? We see water on Mars, it's confirmed, and all this other stuff. Is this a way of just getting us accustomed to the idea of interplanetary life being present and possibly here, or is it just the advance of science, or both?
Well, I think it's not only the advance of science as our technology becomes more refined, but yeah, I think on one level, Gene, I think you hit it on the head. I think there is a very, very gradual idea of opening up the mainstream public to the idea that life is out there. I don't think that anybody that's been paying attention for the last 15, 20 years doubts that there might be some type of life on Mars. Now, I'm not talking about sentient life, and I'm not talking about trees and grass, but microbial life.
Isn't that a horrible word to try to say, microbial? I'll tell you, it challenges every radio broadcaster. We got to do this break. Don Ecker joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system, and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Don Ecker joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast, answering your questions from the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. And what he was remarking about before we had to take our break is the fact that if there's any life on Mars today, it'd be a microbial kind of life. But what about inside, beneath the surface of the planet, in the caverns? Or are we the Martians?
Well, we could very well be the Martians, but there are other places within our own solar system that could possibly harbor life. But the big question, the one that everybody wants to know, is about sentient life, technologically adept sentient life. In other words, ET out there with things like radio equipment. Now, we've been listening to the skies for over 60 years. Now, yeah, something that a lot of people may not be aware of, there have been a couple of times when very anomalous, strange signals have been discovered, but they have never been repeated. And that's one of the things that the SETI scientists will tell you before they make any grand announcement. The signal has got to be repeated or verified by other observatories around the world. That hasn't happened yet. But I've always, and as a matter of fact, with Dr. Seth Shostak from the SETI group, I have debated Shostak on TV a number of years ago up in the Bay Area. We were on a television program together. And, of course, Shostak was being very polite with me. He knew who we were. He knew that of UFO Magazine. And he never, you know, missed an opportunity to gently chide us about, you know, UFOs and ETs, etc. But I kind of turned the tables on Shostak, because I basically, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing here, but I asked him, I said, what makes you think that you're going to hear anybody's radio signal on radio, okay, coming out of the stars? When, if you just look at our own history here on planet Earth, back in the 50s, the planet Earth would have looked like a star in the radio spectrum. We were throwing signals off willy-nilly into the sky without a thought of what that might be. But today, we've grown increasingly darker and darker simply because our technology has changed. We no longer broadcast these huge signals out into space like we once did, with the exception of things like radar, because our technologies have changed. We've gone the route of becoming much darker, which perhaps might be a good thing. We may not want to announce our presence to the universe until we truly know what may be out there. Even people like Dr. Stephen Hawking has cautioned people here on the planet that we actually don't know if or what may be lurking out there, and we don't want to announce ourselves prematurely. So I've always kind of suspected for a long time that SETI, in fact, may simply be spinning their wheels. Hey, there's a reason why it might be very quiet out there. Other extraterrestrial civilizations, and this is speculation, I'll say that up front, but they may be aware of something that is out there, and they're keeping quiet because of what might be out there. And that's something we should consider.
It's something we can focus a whole show on. What do the authorities know? When did they know it? What are they trying to keep a secret from us? Chris, some more questions?
Well, this is the last one from Goggs concerning your lunar anomaly work. And it's a good question, and I'm interested in this, too. You really are up to speed on some of the more puzzling photographs that have been allowed to disseminate out there. Which of these lunar anomalies is your favorite?
Oh, definitely the one that seems to show a pipe, which I did about a year or so ago, I did a presentation on, which was online. I have never seen another photograph that was quite as compelling, and I'm talking about my own personal opinion, that was as quite compelling as what that was. The only other photograph that I saw, and once again, this is not the moon, this was in the vicinity of Mars, that I found initially extremely compelling, and a lot of people have dissed that photograph, but I was aware and had talked about some of the things surrounding this particular picture that a lot of people might not have been aware of, was the Phobos 2 photograph that showed what appeared to be a huge anomaly off the Martian moonlit Phobos. So those two photographs, if somebody were to come to me and ask me what pictures I found most compelling in regards to this topic, it would have to be those two.
Well, you brought up Phobos, and that's a very interesting mystery in and of itself. What are your feelings about the potential artificiality of Phobos and how that the moons of Mars are highly unusual and seem out of place?
Number one, they're in a retrograde orbit. They were never discovered until about 1875 or 76. Even though there was technology that would have enabled astronomers to discover them beforehand. Even back in the 18th century, telescopes were fine enough that they could have detected those two moonlets. But they weren't. They weren't discovered until much later. In the 1950s, Soviet Russian astronomers even theorized there were a couple of them, and I can't recall the guy's name, that these, in fact, might have been artificial. They're in a retrograde orbit, which is unusual. Once we got there, finally, with the Phobos probes, and even before that, when we were sending probes up to Mars, the concept of perhaps using one of these moons as a launch pad to get to Mars was being proposed among Soviet, Russian, their space people at Lab Cosmos, and NASA. There were discussions going on behind the scenes, and I'm talking now about back in the 1980s, that suggested that perhaps, and of course it's not going to happen now because we're almost there, but perhaps by 2014, 2015, the Soviet Union and American NASA astronauts would make a joint mission to Mars, go to Mars, a manned mission, and perhaps women, use Phobos as the place to touch down, and then go from Phobos down to the surface of the planet. This is what they were originally talking about. And Phobos 1 and 2, which were the Soviet Union's probes with, incidentally, a heck of a lot of help from NASA, including equipment and where the telemetry was being fed back to. Incidentally, that telemetry came here to the States first and then shipped on to Russia. This was a very strange mission. Now, quite honestly, I knew nothing about this initially until I read a book by a friend of mine, Zachariah Sitchin. The name of the book was called Genesis Revisited.
We'll revisit Genesis in our final segment of our session with Don Ecker. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
You've heard about our MRE smorgasbord. Now, Long Life Food Depot introduces the most unique, safe, and longest-lasting way to stash emergency food, the Eat Pod. Most survival food products recommend an ideal storage environment, including low temps, low moisture, and low oxygen. If you're storing in a basement, too humid. Garages and attics, too hot. But the waterproof, double-walled, high-density polyethylene patent-pending Eat Pod is a unique roll-away food bunker that creates the perfect condition. Can be buried up to 30 feet and can keep your survival food supply safe, secure, dry, and virtually undetectable for 25 years or more. Get full details on the Eat Pod at eatpod.com, spelled EATPOD.com, or call 800-601-2833. That's 800-601-2833. The Eat Pod from Long Life Food Depot. Since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're covering Zachariah Sitchin, the late writer and theorist, friend of Don Ecker. We continue answering your questions with Gene and Chris. Don?
Yeah, Sitchin had written a book called Genesis Revisited, where he talked in that book about the possibility he believed of being the reactivation of an ancient space base there. Now, at this time, Sitchin had been aware of some of the data that had flowed back from the mission that got there, Phobos 2. The first probe had disappeared about a month or so after launch, and the Russians blamed that disappearance of Phobos 1 on a combination of human and computer error. But Phobos 2 got there, and when it did, the first thing it started to do was scan the planet, photograph the planet, and scan the Phobos moonlet, because they wanted to find out if, in fact, we went to Mars and we used Phobos, what in the world was Phobos made out of? Now, on the planet itself, the Russians, Glapcosmos, discovered a number of areas that were highly hot, all right? Some hot areas that could not be explained. In other words, something down there seemed to be generating heat. Now, it's almost a given that most space scientists regard Mars as geologically inactive. So what might be causing those hot spots that the probe picked up? The other thing was it had taken a photograph of Mars from orbit, which had a huge, and I'm talking about a big one, I saw the picture, of an ellipsoid shadow being reflected off of the atmosphere. Now, this is something that a lot of people may not realize, but Mars, in fact, does have an atmosphere, not one that we could breathe, but there is one down there, and it was reflecting this ellipsoid shadow. So when Phobos began turning around and taking photographs of the moon and what have you, this is when it photographed that huge ellipsoid shape, okay, that a lot of people will argue and say it was a computer glitch. I personally think that it actually photographed something real. And the reason was, according to the Russians at the time, and I'm talking about a Glapcosmos spokesman, this thing that they said that should not have been there turned toward the Phobos probe and struck it. In other words, at the time, they said their probe was rammed. It turned it into a spinner, their words, not mine, and they lost it. So, and a number of other things, too, but I've always suspected there was a heck of a lot more to the story than that. Now, one more thing when we're talking about this. Back around, God, it was 89 or 90. I ended up writing an article about this for Omni Magazine. George Bush Sr., who was then the President of the United States, and Mikhail Gorbachev had a very famous meeting that took place in Malta. Bush ended up taking a heck of a lot of heat because there was a tremendous storm going on over there. And some of you may remember the news stories that came out that Bush went over in a small craft to Gorbachev's boat that he was on in the middle of this storm. And a lot of people were really upset because they felt that Bush put himself in danger. Later on, Colonel Marina Popovich, who was a famous, very famous Soviet Russian aviator, and she had been married to General Pavel Popovich, the first Russian cosmonaut that rendezvoused with another craft in orbit, the first guy that ever did that back in 1962. She told me that the reason that Bush did that, and I have no way to verify this, so I'm going to tell you that up front. This is secondhand. But they were discussing what happened to the Phobos craft. Now, when I wrote that Omni article, I called the White House briefing. I spoke personally to Marlon Fitzwater, who at the time was the guy in charge of George Bush Sr., the press corps. And I asked him that, and of course he laughed at the question. But the fact remains, this is what Popovich told me.
My goodness, that's news to me. That's pretty amazing. Well, what do you think of some of the photographs that people like Richard Hoagland have touted and others that show what appears to be artificiality with the actual moon Phobos? Do you think that there is some possibility that that is already being utilized as some sort of staging area in light of the loss of the Phobos probe and the anomaly that was observed there, which may or may not be a computer glitch? It sure doesn't sound like one to me. What do you think about that possibility? I've heard theories touted that the moon is actually hollow and that the end curiously kind of looks like a parabolic dish, for instance. What do you think?
Well, the fact of the matter is anything I would say would be the purest speculation because, quite frankly, I doubt that I'll ever get there. But if, in fact, NASA or the Russians or anybody else does, in fact, discover any anomalies there, the big question is, what, if anything, would they let out to the public? It's, unfortunately, and I'm cynical about this, it's highly unlikely in my mind that they would tell us anything. They're basically using the mushroom syndrome on the public, Chris, and what that means is they keep
them in the dark
and they feed us copious amounts of bovine manure.
Well, here's a good question, I think, from Nameless, which just came in here as we were actually taping the episode. Don, how has your opinion changed over the years in regards to a hypothesis with the UFO phenomenon? Like most of us, did you start off as a nuts and bolts guy, and where did you end up now? Again, in this regard, what advice would you give to a new investigator who may be entering the field right now?
Well, yeah, I did start off strictly as a nuts and bolts guy, and I maintained that position for a very long time. But over the years, my thinking on a lot of things has changed somewhat. I like to think it evolved. I believe that there's room in this field for a lot of explanations on what some of these various cases and incidents, in fact, might represent. As far as anybody new coming into the field, the only thing that I could recommend to anybody, if they're serious about this, you've got a lot of research and study to do before you jump into the fray, because in order to have any idea where we are heading, you've got to know where we have been before. And one thing I noticed when I first became interested in the phenomenon and I started doing some research on it, it seemed like every generation of UFO researchers, or people that call themselves a researcher, has got to relearn everything that's already been known by the last group of investigators.
I'll tell you what, Don, one of the questions I'd ask anyone wanting to enter UFO research, hey, man, you got to be kidding. Don Ecker, tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
Dark Matters Radio is my show. It runs Monday through Friday on the CyberStationUSA.com network. In order to get up there, it starts at 10 p.m. Pacific time until midnight. Simply go to www.dq, like Quebec, dqrm.com.
You can find us at theparacast.com. We're on the GCN radio network every Sunday morning, real early. But, of course, we make the podcast available freely after the show is broadcast. We're also known as the Paracast on Facebook. We have two areas there. We hope to merge them in one. Chris has his own site, OurStrangePlanet.com, because this is our strange planet, Our Strange Planet. Don Ecker, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
You bet.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.